What's up, everybody? Welcome to Draft Chaff. This is episode number 110. My name is Zach. I'm one of your hosts, and joining me as per usual, Ben Fisher. What's up, dude?
Not much. You can see that I have a different background today than usual. I am in the process of moving. It is always just so much fun. Oh, it's just so much fun to move. Oh, I just love it. I wish I could do it every day.
I don't believe you.
And you shouldn't.
All right. This week we are doing something a little bit different, but before I explain what that is, let's jump into our usual housekeeping. If you're not already in the Discord, check that out. The link is in the episode description as well as on our Twitter page. And that's the best place to go to communicate with us outside of the show or social media. Jump in, say hi, post your trophy decks, discuss different picks. We've got channels for just about every format that is currently being played, and a bunch of random channels for sort of life nonsense and things like that. And if you'd like to support the show directly, you can do so on Patreon at patreon.com/draftchaffpod. Huge thanks to all of our patrons over there who continue to support us each and every week. We are beyond grateful for all of you. So thank you very much for your support. Perks over there include things like our Draft Doctor series, stickers, show notes, unedited recordings of the show, and our Draft Chaff hero cards, which we sign and send out to each of our patrons. Again, you can check that out at patreon.com/draftchaffpod. Now, I didn't quite say what we're doing, and we are skipping our crack a draft type thing this week because what we're doing is Ben and I are going to jump into what we're calling a blind draft, meaning we're going to do Baldur's Gate. Yes, we've been harping on how much we are not very happy with Baldur's Gate, but here's the thing. Neither of us have actually done a deep dive or looked at the full set at all. So we're just going to jump into a quick draft. We're going to try to evaluate the cards on the fly, draft a deck, and then let you guys be the determining factor of whether we did a good job with this draft or not.
Yeah, this sounds like a lot of fun. Usually by this point in the format, we would know every single card. We would know every single combat trick. We would barely have to look at them. But to be honest, like you mentioned, this set, I mean, we both kind of just took a break. I mean, we're busy. We're going on vacations. It's the summer. I moved. And we just kind of had some other things to do. And that's okay. You can take breaks from sets every once in a while. Totally cool to do. But this actually does provide us with a very unique opportunity to test our, our card evaluation skills, our draft skills on the fly. And then I look forward to the roasts we get in the Discord afterwards, unless we just come up with an awesome deck. Now, honestly, the thing that made me want to do this the most is that I did hear one thing on Magic Twitter about this set. The blue is bad. And that, you know, that piqued my interest a little bit. So
naturally, but besides we'll be drafting blue.
No thanks. But besides that, yeah, we haven't looked at the spoiler. There's cards in the set that I'm sure I haven't seen. I heard there's a busted white 4 drop. I think it's like a 2/4 that blinks. But it's about the extent of my knowledge. We did both play a good amount of AFR, and I think there's some repeat cards, but I guess we'll find out. But first, we should probably do our Teferi and Tibble.
Sure. So for me this week, my Teferi is, I got to do some trivia last night. It's something I've been trying to do semi-regularly. I've done a few this year at various bars in my town. And yesterday's was interesting. The format they did was, it was 4 rounds. Each round had 5 questions. And there were 4 main questions and then a bonus on each round. And instead of getting like a point per question you answer, you were given 4 point values, and you had to wager those points on each question. So for instance, they would ask the first question, you would come up with an answer, and then you would assign either 1, 3, 5, or 7 points to that response. If you got it right, you got that many points. If you got it wrong, you didn't get the points.
Interesting.
Thing is, they told you the categories for the questions ahead of time, but you didn't know what the next question was. So you kind of had to gauge your point values based on like how well you thought you would know the next categories.
Oh, weird.
So there's quite a bit of strategizing involved. We did a good job. One of the bonus questions was a 4-part, 4-point question. And what that means is that like you had to give 4 answers, and for every correct answer, you got 4 points.
Okay.
And the question was, since the 1980s, name 4 of the last 6 actors to play Batman.
Oh, come on. That's a 16-pointer for you right there.
It was great. I crushed it. We got easy. All 6, actually.
Oh, I'm sure you did. you'd have to revoke your card otherwise.
That said, and we were actually neck and neck for, there were prizes for top four, and we were neck and neck for third place, or almost. At one point we were in first, and then we were leapfrogging around in the top four, but we stayed in the top four every round. The last question was a 30-point bonus that you wagered your points on. So
Jeopardy style.
So you could wager from 1 to 30 points. If you got it wrong, you lost those points.
Yikes.
And the question was the category is art. The question was for the statue the thinker, right? Famous statue or whatever.
Yeah.
What material was the statue made of? And a woman on our team was like, I used to live next to that statue. It's iron.
Like, really? It's iron?
Dead set. Well, she was dead set on it. She was like, 30 points, wager it. We're good to go. Uh-oh. I looked around at everybody. I was like, is everybody cool with that? I wanted to say marble. Like, I did not know at all.
Do they make statues out of iron?
Well, so here's the thing. So she said iron. She was super super dedicated about it. She says, yes, submit it. I get up. And as I'm getting up, she says, I know it's iron because it never rusts. And I was like, that's like the thing that rusts. I had already submitted the answer.
Also, there's so many other things that you can make statues out of that don't rust.
Well, she knew it was a metal that doesn't rust. And for some reason, and then before they did actually say the correct answer, but I had already submitted, she goes, oh crap, it's bronze. And the correct answer. It was bronze.
Huh?
So note to self, when you're doing trivia, submit your answers at the last minute because every second is valuable.
Yikes. Still sounds like a good time.
It was great. Yeah. My tibble is that I've been in a huge slump lately. I realized like a few days ago that I think I've been depressed for the last couple of months and just didn't know it because I find like next to nothing interesting. I don't really like want to do anything at all right now. Like my days tend to consist of just going through the motions and not really like
yikes
being excited about anything, but it's like kind of in waves and stuff. So I don't know. I'm in a bit of a slump. I'm working through it, but
yeah,
it happens.
Well, I know it's not going to last forever, you know? And of course you can always talk to me about it and, you know, the whole Discord and any listener that's listening, they're all pretty cool people. Except for that one, you know, we're not going to say who.
Oh boy.
No, but I know you take like mindfulness and we take mental health pretty seriously, but I don't think it's something that's going to last. But in the meantime, you know, you got good support.
Yeah. I mean, recognizing it's a big stepping stone in the right direction. So
yeah. Yeah. Well, let me know what I can do to help.
Thanks. What's up with you this week?
Well, I guess my tibble is I moved. And that's always a whole thing. I told you about this. I smacked my head into a door frame really hard. So what I was doing, I was like moving out of my old place. And I was like, okay, I should check my closets to make sure I got everything out. My closets have some higher shelves. So I'm like, you know how I should do this? I already packed up all my chairs, all my stools, everything that I could have stood on. So I'm like, I'm tall. I'll just jump. So I thought I walked far enough into my closet to like jump up and like see the top shelves. So I jump full force and the top of my head just smacks straight into the door frame.
Nice. I know what happened. You knew we were going to be doing this draft and you wanted an excuse for your bad picks.
Oh, perhaps this is going to get me a little bit concussed, but no, it genuinely hurt. It was rough. I like fell down, collapsed a bit. Any doctors listening? Should I go to the hospital or something? But no, I would have if I had like felt weird. But the moment I did, I was like, God, this would be such a stupid way to die. It's like I'm alone in an apartment that like they think is fully moved out. No one's going to check on it for several days. And like no one has any keys to it anymore. Like if I wind up like collapsed and that would have sucked. But I've got a big gash on my head. Thankfully, I have a ton of hair, so you can't even really see it. Now, my Teferi, I guess moving is also a Teferi. It's been fun, like resetting everything up. I like this place a lot, this new place. And I finally have like a nice, convenient desk setup where like the Ethernet port is like right next to the desk and there's like tons of outlets everywhere. Although the one light switch in the room does control the outlet that I'm plugging everything in my PC into. So hopefully I don't like accidentally flip the switch and think it's a lamp or something, but whatever. I wanted to, well, actually this kind of ties into one of the reasons we're doing this. I'm going on vacation for the next week. I'm going to Maine. That's always a good time, going to Acadia for those that know it. Plus Maine is just like seafood capital of the US. It's just the best. So, that'll be good. And you got a trip coming up too. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm going camping, not this weekend, but next. And I'm excited. Yeah. It's like an annual thing that some of my buddies from college and I do.
Yeah. I think the fresh air will be good too. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. Well, anyway, to the listener, you know, we have a live draft for this week. We actually have another live draft coming up next week, one that we recorded a little while ago, knowing that we would both be kind of in vacation mode. So, look, it was that, or we weren't going to do an episode at all, but we don't miss episodes. This is not what we do, you know? So, if anyone rolls their eyes at the notion of two live drafts in a row, it's like, hey, are you a patron? Are you paying for this?
All right. Speaking of, let's get on to our listener question of the week. This week, our question comes from Jaren. And the question is, which fictional characters do you both identify with? This is a response to our episode with the prof. If you didn't check that out, definitely go give that a listen. That was a lot of fun. But yeah, which fictional characters do we identify with?
Jeez, that is, I don't almost don't even know where to begin. I mean, I have ones that are favorites, but ones that I identify with, I mean, I can give a quick visual identity one. When I was younger, I always thought it'd be awesome. I always thought the coolest looking character in anything was Obi-Wan. Just like the hair, the beard combo. I was like, wow, that's sick. And I think I've gotten there.
Yeah, you would need to dye it like a lighter blonde, I guess.
That's a lot of work.
But yeah, you've got it pretty close.
Yeah, as far as other fictional characters, I'm a big sucker for like the, I guess the kind of reserved but nice, but also like kind of at peace characters, but also ones that can still like kick ass if they need to. Like I'm thinking like Dale Cooper from Twin Peaks or Uncle Iroh from Avatar. I'm sure I could think of more, but that's what I got for now.
Yeah, I think for myself, so I'll kind of answer this the way you did. When I was a little kid, I was obsessed for some reason. I was obsessed with Woody from Toy Story to the point where like I would wear a Woody costume multiple days in a row and just like not take it off.
You still have the costume?
No, I don't. So I guess at some point I identified with Woody. I can't recall for the life of me why I did or like what my fascination with Woody was. I think I just liked his horse, but today I think I would probably identify closest with somebody like surprisingly somebody like Iroh, but maybe like a much younger Iroh. He does have sort of that objective quality that I tend to be fond of in myself, where he can kind of see both sides of a problem. He's typically slow to anger, but will be like very quick to defend things that he is, very dedicated to, or like very, just like the things he stands up for, like are very dear to his heart. So he's quick to defend those things. But he's also like stoic and very thoughtful about the way he approaches life. And that's something I aspire to, if not something that I already capture. So I think he's somebody that I try to identify with.
Fair.
So I'll go with that for now. I think I should give this question more thought though, to get a more detailed answer.
Yeah. I pulled up my letterbox to just kind of flip through some of my favorites and like think about it. I would say maybe other ones that I would identify with. Jet from Cowboy Bebop is one that came to mind. Steve Zissou from Life Aquatic with Steve Zissou, in that I wouldn't say I relate to him on a literal level because he's a very messed up and flawed character, but he values growth in a weird way and he has a big like support network, which is interesting. If anyone wants to talk Wes Anderson movies, hit me up on Discord. I love Life Aquatic. I think it's underrated. And actually Waymond Wang from Everything Ever All at Once, probably my recent favorite movie that I've seen in a long time.
Still haven't seen it.
Oh, it's so good, dude. It just makes every other multiverse movie look like a pile of junk. Like all of Marvel's attempts don't even come close. And this thing was made with like a $30 million budget compared to like the $100 million that Marvel pulls in. Highly recommend.
All right, on to our Baldur's Gate blind live draft. I guess let's take it away here.
Yeah, so we're going to be doing a quick draft because that way we actually have time to look at what we're doing. I don't even know what we're going to open, right?
Yeah, no idea.
Okay, so pack one, pick one here. It's a quick draft. We don't have to wait. I do actually know what this card is. Prosper Tomebound. Have you heard of this?
I've heard of it. I can't recall what it does.
So it's a Rakdos Mythic. It's 4 mana 1/4. It's Death Touch. And at the beginning of your end step, exile the top card of your library. Until the end of your next turn, you may play it. Whenever you play a card from exile, create a treasure token. I think this is... Well, this came out not too long ago. I think it was one of the Commander precons from AFR. But this is now like basically the most popular Rakdos Commander.
Okay, so also one thing, I mean, Ben and I have not seen the set in its entirety. We also, maybe I'm speaking out of turn for both of us, but I have not seen the signposts and commons or anything. So I have no idea what the archetypes in this set are.
Me neither.
But Prosper sounds like a cool card. If there are lots of ways to get things in exile and cash out those treasures, that sounds pretty solid.
We actually have some other, I recognize this, there's a red dragon at uncommon. Sure. Dragonborn Immolator, 4 mana 2/4, gets fire breathing. When it dies, note its power. Oh God, you get a boon. I think that's just like an effect that happens, and then the next time, it's like a trigger that just remembers from turn to turn.
Okay, so similar to an emblem. When you cast your next creature spell, perpetually gets +X+0, where X is the noted number.
So this thing dies at like 4 power, and then that creature, the next thing you cast, comes in with like +4/+0. This seems whatever. And the Scouting Hawk. This is a common in Baldur's Gate normally. ETB, 3 mana 1/1 flyer, ETB. If an opponent controls more lands, then you search your library for planes, put in battlefield tapped, shuffle. It's cool. There's actually a bunch of stuff in this pack that I do know. Devoted Paladin, Sepulchre. Wait.
It's changed for Alchemy.
They bumped it into a 2/2 instead of a 2/1.
2 mana 2/2, sack another creature, gets +2/+2.
What are they
only
thinking?
Once a turn.
Yeah, so that part was always there, but used to be a 2/1. Now it's a 2/2. Chain Devil, I know this one. I did do a the free midweek draft. I had a Chain Devil, and this one was fine. I like these guys. Giant Fire Beetles. Look at that art. That's
3 mana 2/2 menace with double team, which says when a creature with double team attacks, if it's not a token, conjure a duplicate into your hand. And both of them perpetually lose double team. So basically just generates a copy of itself.
Draws you another copy. That seems really strong. Poison the Blade, Cyclo Death Touch, line up the shot. Ooh, that's okay. This is interesting. You conjure a Plummet into your hand. So it's like...
Plummet, Naturalize, or just draw a card.
So it's like a 3 mana Plummet, a 3 mana Naturalize, or a Cycler. Ugh. Cloak of the Bat. Cool art, but whatever. Iron Golem, I recognize, and Pilgrim's Eye. I mean, I'm down to just slam the Prosper here. Like, it's a mythic. Rakdos was busted in AFR, so
I think it's probably I think it's probably the highest upside card.
It draws you a card every turn. It's a 4 mana 1/4, and then whenever you play a card from exile, create a treasure. So we're gonna look to play other things from exile, maybe. I mean, Red Dragon's also really good, and that would just be one color. I can't imagine Red Dragon is bad in this set too, right?
Yeah, maybe Red Dragon's the pick just because it doesn't lock us into a color.
Yeah, it might be. But Red Black.
I don't know
like
how many ways there are to exile things.
That's true. And I think let's just take Prosper.
All right.
It's going to be fun. Okay.
Gets past no red or black cards.
We got a Ray of Frost. That's the blue removal spell. Emerald Dragon. 6 mana 4/4 flying trample. 3 mana.
Counter activated from a non-creature source. 6 mana 4/4 flampler with the option to dissolve something.
Corlessa Scale Singer. This is the same as the one from Baldur's Gate Paper. Minimus Containment, Clever Conjurer, Contact Other Plane, Timora's Invoker. 8 mana, draw 2. Yikes.
Oh no, 2 mana, 1/3.
There are 2 red or black cards in this pack. There's Nefarious Imp, which is 2 and a black, 2/1. Whenever one of our permanents you control leave the battlefield, scry 1. Good in a sack deck. And a young red dragon, which actually you can cast from exile.
Yes. So the adventure stuff is going to be great with Prosper. That's true.
Yeah. Probably just take the dragon here, right? I mean,
I think that's a solid pick. It's not really signaling anything. We're passing up.
Maybe we should take the Emerald Dragon. I mean, you can also cast that from exile too, right?
Yeah, but then that's locking us into Jund. And I think locking into 3 colors so far is probably a bad idea. If we can get more ways to get treasures, now Prosper and the Young Red Dragon both generate treasures.
Yeah, that's true.
Then maybe the Red Dragon can get an aggressive splash. But
I mean, none of these cards seem that powerful. There's a Dread Lunorn down here. I feel like I saw this on Twitter.
7 mana, 7/6. Can't be blocked. But yeah, can't be blocked by creatures with power 3 or less. And then it's got an adventure, which is 3 and a green. For an instant, put 2+1/+1 counters on target creature and untap it. It gains hexproof until end of turn. So it's a nice way to protect your things.
That is a good trick.
Beef them up.
And there's also a band together. Generic green removal spell. So I guess if we're going to take a green card, I mean, the Dreadlunorn almost seems better than the Emerald Dragon. And Band Together and Dreadlunorn both look pretty relevant, but maybe we're supposed to take Young Red here?
Yeah, I mean, the question is, we're on pick 2. I think you're supposed to probably still just take the most powerful pick, but the Young Red Dragon sets us up nicely for the Rakdos deck if we are going to end up seeing any more Rakdos cards. And if we're cutting...
it's a 4-mana 3/2 flyer. Like,
cutting those colors already to the left is probably going to set us up in pack 2.
Let's just take it.
Okay, whereas, like, I think taking anything else kind of makes us waffle.
All right, so Young Red Dragon it is. Ooh, well, we took the young one. How about a normal one? We just got past the Red Dragon. Got past Sigil of Miracle. 2 and a black. At the beginning of combat on your turn, mill a card. If there are 4 more creature cards in your graveyard, put 1/1 counter. Nah.
There's also a Deadly Dispute in black, which is the original Deadly. Just good. We've got treasure generation, so that's true. That means we'll have something to sack and it replaces itself and stuff. It's a good combo.
This card was great. Clutches. There's a Hill Giant Herd Gorger, another Dreadlinorn, Mace of Disruption. One of the white. O2 Pro Demons and Devils. It's a Tiefling. Huh? Wait, you're telling me this guy, Prosper Tomebound, is neither a demon nor a devil?
No, he's a Tiefling. He's like a half demon.
Is he what, half demon, half devil?
No, they're half. It's half human, half demon. Basically, they're humans that have demon lineage. So
I don't know if it's going to be pro demons, pro devils. I feel like it should also be pro tiefling. But maybe this is some D&D stuff. Whenever it attacks, perpetual gets 1/0. It's the same. Oh, so this is like the what's it called? That mechanic, the copy thing.
Sure.
Because it cares about having this. It cares about having the same name. I forget. We'll just call it clone until we remember what it's called. I mean, I'm just going to slam the red dragon here.
Yeah, I don't think it's particularly close there.
Mind Spike. Target opponent reveals their... okay, so it's like a thought seize that can't miss, but you can't take a creature. I don't know. Seems kind of bad. This is Sepulchre Ghoul that I'm looking at. Pegasus Guardian. Ooh, this is a flicker card.
Yeah, I don't know if that's really what our deck wants to do, though, at the moment. We're basically in, like, Rakdos exile ramp.
Okay, so there's an Eye of the Beholder, but that sucked last time.
Yeah.
Bad against adventures. Bad against... if there's creatures that, like, copy themselves when they attack, then this sucks.
Yeah, I guess... I guess the Sepulchre Ghoul is probably the best card for our deck, unless we just want to take a speculation pick on, like, just best card that doesn't care about colors and then hope to maybe splash it or pivot at some point. Because we're not technically Rakdos. We could just go like red anything else and splash Prosper, or we could not even play Prosper.
I mean, adventures, I actually, in Baldur's Gate, like pre-release, at like the commander... pre-release type thing, I played red-white adventures and it was awesome. Prosper, I guess we could do Mardu adventures, but I'm looking at this Patriarch's Humiliation. 1 mana instant, target creature perpetually loses all abilities and then it deals damage equal to the number of creatures you control. That's a pretty good removal spell.
One mana instant that does that?
Yeah, I'm surprised it's not like a sorcery.
Because that's like...
only working on attacking or blocking or something.
That could be kind of a two for one in and of itself. Mm. Because you could like get rid of a relevant ability on one of their creatures and then deal the damage to something else.
Yeah.
Oh no, it's to that same. It's to that same.
Oh yeah. Ranger Squadron. I remember being impressed with. I could have sworn it was called something else. It's like a toucaneer, I thought. Anyway, I don't know. I mean, we have a few four drops and a six drop. I kind of just want to take the ghoul here. Just like get on the ground early.
Yeah, and maybe just not even use it for its sack ability.
Yeah,
just
it's two mana 2/2. You know,
just a bear. Yeah.
Actually, that's the card that I was just talking about. Liara. This is my commander, although she costs 2 now instead of 5. So something's going on. Liara is red, white for a 2/2 uncommon. I guess they messed this one up pretty good. Beginning of combat, each creature you control gets 1/1 until end of turn if it has the same name as another creature you control or a creature card in your graveyard. And then 3, another creature gains first strike. And oh, you can give something double team. That's kind of cool. So you could like... okay, hold on.
So wait, and that says three. It says activate only as a sorcery and only once, not once per turn.
Oh, you only get to do it once? Oh, that's annoying. It's kind of disappointing. I mean, I would love to like Liara on Red Dragon. That's disgusting.
Giving Red Dragon double team does sound really good.
But there's also like a Shambling Ghast and a Manticore, which I don't hate in red black style, like little pingy, sacky decks. Liara is
really far from what our deck is doing at the moment.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
So I would probably just take the Shambling Ghast here. It makes treasures.
It's embodied for the ghoul.
Yeah, exactly.
Ghast it is. Wow, are we just like getting rail drafted into a red black? This feels familiar.
Well, so this pack, we've got Drider and Sepulcher Ghoul in our colors. There's been a lot of blue and green floating around.
Yeah, not a lot of red or white.
None of the green has really seemed like exceptionally good besides a couple of Lenorns that are going by, but you can't really... And the Null Hunter's fine.
Null Hunter, that Poison the Blade thing. And then some junk, like Spite Pick Trap is junk. Prophetic Prism, I mean... I don't know. We have some good options. So Drider, I remember from AFR, I remember liking this thing. Like when it stuck, it was great. There is another Sepulcher Ghoul though.
Yeah. I don't think we care about having another Sepulcher Ghoul at the moment. They're floating around the table. I think we'll get more of them later.
Just go for the power, take the Drider.
Probably just take the Drider.
Yeah.
We do want to care about like curve considerations, but it's early enough that I think we're okay to ignore them for now.
So we got past another Mind Spike because the bots don't like it much either. In our colors, there's also a Summon Undead. Huh. Mill 3, return a creature. This kind of thing is... I mean, if we were doing this for like five a huge mana? Dragon deck, maybe, but this... like, what are we going to do? Reanimate a Shambling Ghast? Like, nah. Kobold Warcaller. Choose a creature card in your hand. It perpetually gains haste. That's kind of cool.
One mana, 1/1 tap, give something haste is fine.
Give your red dragon or young red dragon haste. I'm a fan of that.
And it gets eaten by the ghoul nicely.
Target creature you control gets 2/0, gains double team until end of turn. Also gains first strike until end of turn is another thing. Okay, so this is for like the double team deck. I would probably just want to try out the War Caller here.
Well, so hear me out. You could either take the War Caller and just like, you know, maybe make it our 23rd card or something.
Yeah.
Or you could take a Lenorm as a potential splash off of treasures and like ramped into.
Oh, that's true. Yeah. We have a bunch of treasure generation now. We have what? 3 things that make treasures. And I heard the Lenorm is like, this thing looks like a beating.
Well, yeah, we have 3 things that generate treasures, but Prosper is a repeatable treasure generator.
With adventure cards. Yeah. Okay. I'm down for, look, you think you're gonna have to convince me to play Jund Dragons? Let's take a speculative Lenorm. Vampire Spawn and Grim Wanderer. It looks like black is pretty solidly open. There's some white junk that we don't want. Celestial Unicorn, Ranger Squadron, and Your Ambush on the Road. There's a Soul Knife Spy, which is, I mean, this looks good, you know, but it just wasn't playable in the last set.
Yeah. I am liking, so Grim Wanderer felt like it was supposed to be a really good card, and sometimes it was, but then a lot of times it just couldn't, you just couldn't cast it.
Yeah. I'm down for Siege Rhino.
Yeah, I think the spawn's pretty solid, and it's good for a curve right now. We don't have any 3 drops.
Oh, the Dragonborn Immolator Wheel. This is our first pack, and we got the Sepulcher Ghoul back. So this was the dragon that had fire breathing for two. Fire breathing for two is so bad, though. And then you get the boon where you cast the next thing. I don't know, this seems kind of junky. Like, I'd rather just take another ghoul, get another two drop.
Yeah, I agree.
We wheeled the Emerald Dragon, Spike Pit Trap, a bunch of blue cards. I guess I'll take the dragon. It does have an adventure on it.
Don't think that one will make the cut, but it's there if we need it.
Yeah, probably not. We're getting down to the dregs here. Take Sigil of Murkwool, but this is like a graveyard thing. I don't think we want this. The Murkwool equipment from last set was a banger, if that's in this set, but I'll just put that right in the sideboard. Take a Mind Spike, but I don't know if we're going to play it.
We're not playing any of the cards in that pack anyway. Ooh, the Manticore Wield.
Manticore, I feel like, could make it, and then a Dream Fracture. Wait, what is this? Counter target spell. This is Remand for three. Huh.
Sort of. They don't get that spell back. They get a different card, but...
So we've been talking about Mardu.
Oh, gosh.
Mardu Adventures. Looks like we opened a Mardu rare called Jan Jansen, Chaos Crafter. Red, white, black for a 3/3 haste. Not bad. Oh, look at this. Sacrifice an artifact creature. Create two treasure tokens. Or tap, sacrifice a non-creature artifact. Create two 1/1s. Huh. So okay, it does kind of pop off by itself.
So... this is an interesting card, which also may be worth the splash. We got to look at the rest of the pack, but yeah. It's a 3-mana 3/3 with haste that in our deck generates fodder for Sepulcher Ghouls.
Yeah. Oh,
without it does. Much help at all. Like, we generate treasures just by the decks doing its thing. And then we have treasures to sack to make 1/1s to sack to the Sepulcher Ghoul.
And this thing is self-fueling. So you could like tap it. Once you activate it the first time, you sack.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, you sack a treasure to this to make 2 1/1s, then you sack the 1/1 to make two treasures.
It's its own infinite combo once it gets started, yeah.
This seems pretty strong, right? I mean, if this doesn't get answered, it just taps for as many 1/1s as you want. A 2 1/1s every other turn, and getting treasures, that also is kind of what our deck is about. I mean, maybe we wind up in Mardu treasures, and we don't even worry about these dragons, but...
Could be. It's a good speculative pick. Let's see what else is in the pack, though, before we just... you know, slam that. Sure. There's another Immolator.
No, I just don't think this looks that good. All right, roast me in the Discord if this is actually like a busted mythic uncommon, but this looks kind of bad. 2-mana fire breathing just isn't that good. Swashbuckler Extraordinaire, 3-mana 2/2 when ETBs make it. Oh, hold up. ETB make a treasure. Whenever you attack, you may sack one or more treasures. When you do up to that many creatures, gain double strike until end of turn.
Seems pretty solid.
There's a Bag of Holding. We know that one. Blessed Hippogriff. This is a cool trick staple to it. Give a creature indestructible.
Yeah.
In black, there's a Guildswarm Prowler. When it dies, if it wasn't blocking, draw a card.
So it's a 2-mana 2/1 with Death Touch. You just throw it in the red zone and eventually you'll draw a card off it.
Yeah, they're forced to trade eventually. There's a Valor Singer, which I'm a big fan of that. Incessant Provocation is good with 2 Sepulcher Ghouls, but we could probably try to wield this. I feel like there's better power in this pack.
And then there was an Earthcult Elemental, which I liked for the most part in AFR. I thought it was pretty fine. I'm torn between the Swashbuckler Extraordinaire and Jan Jansen. I kind of like trying the Jansen because I think it will actually goes off in this deck. And
I think it does, yeah.
And we've seen a lot of white cards floating around, so we might, and maybe he's the only white card we play.
Yeah, maybe. That's true.
But
plus with all the treasures. Prosper and Jan Jansen, you kind of just go nuts, right?
Right.
Playing all these things, making all these treasures. Okay, we'll take it. Here is, what? Boriskire? Is that some D&D stuff?
I don't know.
Boriskire Tollkeeper. 2-mana 3/1 ETB target opponent reveals all creature and land cards. And then it gains ETB tapped. No. No thanks. Lozen Dragon's Legacy. 5-mana 4/2 flyer. When you cast an adventure or dragon, it deals damage equal to that spell's mana value to any target that isn't a commander.
Hello. Okay. I just noticed the card that's in this pack while you were reading that one. Take a look at the bottom left there.
Oh, this Hobgoblin Captain? Oh, I don't even read the rest of the stuff. I love Hobgoblin Captain.
Yeah, that is probably the pick. There's also a Ferritas Fireball.
Yeah, like another Summon Undead.
Only other option, but I think Captain's just the best card in the pack for us.
Oh, geez. Captain was so busted, and you used to be able to get like seven of these things. Let's slam it. There's Irenicus's Vile Duplication. Four mana, make a token that's a copy of target creature you control, except the token is... what? Huh?
That's pretty cool.
Copy a thing, and it just gains flying?
And loses legendary, if it had it.
This is nuts, right? I mean, unless... how about two prospers, huh?
Yeah.
I don't know. We're very far away from blue.
I see a Deadly Dispute in this pack. I wouldn't mind that.
Yeah. There's also a Hook Horror. 5 mana, 3/3. When it dies, it gets perpetually -1/-1. Then if its toughness is 1 or greater, return it to the battlefield. Oh, so it doesn't want to infinitely die on a loop.
Why did they not just give this persist? Oh, I guess because it's got to be
perpetual. Persist thing. And then persist again. Yeah. It's good to sack to Sepulchre Ghouls, but I feel like Deadly Dispute's probably just what we want.
Yeah, I think so too.
It's so good with treasures.
Yeah, and with Jan Jansen, it's just going to be solid. It gives like anything that's getting us treasures is going to be good in this deck.
Take the Dispute, and this isn't the usual red-green uncommon or from AFR. This is Thrakus the Butcher. 5 mana, 3/4, trample. Attacks double the power of each dragon you control. Okay, not what we're doing, but it's kind of fun. Okay, so there's the butcher thing. These two dragons are looking a little suspicious. We're probably going to wind up closer to Mardu. There is a Valor Singer, which I'm a fan of. There's also a Chardolin dragon. I thought all dragons in D&D had color.
They do, to my knowledge, but whatever.
yeah, whatever this thing is. I mean, Valor Singer... Let's just go for the good old-fashioned black-red deck, you know? Like, Valor Singer is just good.
Yeah. Yeah, it's fine. It's pretty far and away the best card in the pack, but it's the only card in our colors.
Yeah, unless we want the 6-mana 4/4 flyer, but...
I don't think we do.
Probably not. Let's go with the Singer. Another Drider, another Sepulchre Ghoul, another Shambling Ghast. Ooh, this is a pick. And then Ganassi Rabble Rouser. This is actually the art that I keep seeing because it comes up on the arena loading screen. I like this. It's kind of fun. Some
2-mana 1/3 double team with an ability for 2 mana creatures you control named Ganassi Rabble Rouser get +1/+0 until end of turn.
Wait, you're telling me this isn't a devil or a demon or a tiefling? It's an elemental?
Yeah,
this
Ganassis,
looks so much like...
Ganassis are like humans that are imbued with elemental power at birth.
Huh.
And so like they specialize in like there are air Ganassi, there are earth Ganassi, there are fire Ganassi and water Ganassi. Like,
okay, that's kind of cool.
Yeah.
So
this one just happens to be red.
What are we taking here? The Ghast has treasure synergy.
And Sepulchre Ghoul synergy. We already have two ghouls, so that's something to keep in mind.
We're not getting any cards back out of this pack. That's rough. Oh, no, we are actually. We are. We get... this is pick 5.
I don't think we need another Drider, personally. At least not yet. Like, our curve's looking really high. I don't hate the Shambling Ghast.
Honestly, let's just go with the Ghast. I mean, this deck is going to get started really early and then just overwhelm our opponent with whatever we're doing. Hello. So this is a Chain Devil. That Chain Devil actually works really well with Shambling Ghast.
Yeah. There's also a Horde Robber, which I've liked in...
What is Sewer Plague? 2 and a black. Ew, what is that rat thing?
I believe that is the Sewer Plague.
Yeah, it looks like it. Target creature and opponent controls perpetually gets -2/-2 and gains the beginning of each upkeep. This looks like a pretty good kill spell.
Yes, it does. It's a little delayed, but it does the trick.
Yeah. So you cast this.
We might
instant.
Just want that because we don't have any removal, really.
We don't.
Manticore.
We don't.
And we have Red Dragon. Or does Red Dragon hit players?
Yeah, it hits players. Let's just go with the Plague. It's sad we can't take the Devil, but we could try to pick one of those up later. Okay, here's removal. Improvised Weaponry. Deal 2, make a treasure. Another Valor Singer.
Like
Manticore. Another Bag of Holding, some junk, Thieves' Tools, Shocking Grasp. Guardian Naga, I played a copy of this at pre-release. 7 mana, 5/6, Vigilance. On your turn, prevent all damage that we dealt to it, and it has a disenchant staple to it.
but it's pretty solid, but not what we're doing here.
Yeah, it's big.
I like the improvised weaponry.
I do too. Yeah. Good for treasure. I mean, this is a treasure deck. I guess black red is still just solidly in treasures. Ooh, cast down. That's got to be the pick, right? I don't even want to look at the rest, but there is another Chain Devil and a Horde Robber. I mean, black has felt super open this draft.
Yeah, when we're seeing it, I think the first pack people didn't open very much black.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, cast down, I'm just going to slam that.
Yeah, I don't think we can pass that.
Wow, bots don't seem to like the Dragonborn Immolator. There is an Incessant Provocation here. The gain control of target creature until end of turn, the turn against effect. And we have two Sepulchre Ghouls, Deadly Dispute, and we can probably pick up some more sack stuff, right?
Yeah, I mean, we've seen Jan Jansen.
If we can grab an artifact creature, maybe that like that big 4/4 flyer, then we could sack it to Jan Jansen.
We're not giving anything up to take it here, so I think it's the pick.
I'd like to get one more Sepulchre Ghoul this draft if possible. All right, we got some junk. We've
seen tons of them, so I wouldn't be surprised if we get another.
I'll take a Summon Undead for the sideboard. Yeah, our deck looks almost done, by the way. We're at 21 out of 40 right now. Baleful Beholder or
Hakara. Well, that's playing the Emerald Dragon and the Dreadlenorm, which I'm actually not positive we're playing.
I think we should err on not.
Yeah.
I mean, Prosper is good with adventures. It's whenever you play a card from exile, create a treasure. But you're playing stuff from exile just off of Prosper anyway.
Right. We also haven't seen too many things with treasures in our colors. We did get past the Hook Horror there, which is fine. And then Baleful Beholder.
I think I want to go with the Hook Horror. It seems like it fits the sack deck better and it's also cheaper.
Yeah, yeah.
Don't know if we're going to play it or not, but take another Summon Undead for the sideboard. We got our third ghoul.
Sepulchre Ghoul.
Nice. And a Horde Robber. Don't know if that one will make the cut, but
it might not.
So we opened up a kind of on color thing, depending on if this is good or not. John Irenicus the Exile. 2BB, 3/5. At the beginning of your end step, draw a card if your library has more cards in it than target opponent's library. Otherwise, each opponent mills 5 cards.
No thanks.
I don't know. Is this just a format of 3/5, draw an extra card every turn?
No, because it only draws you a card if your opponent's deck is smaller than yours or bigger than yours. And we're not drawing a ton of cards, so there's a strong chance that we'll be equal or they'll have fewer cards in their deck than we do. Although, Prosper kind of gets us ahead a little bit, but we have to get Prosper out for that to start happening. And he's another color. Like, I just don't think we do that. I don't think it fits our deck.
I don't know, man. I feel like we could splash blue pretty easily here, right?
I think we can do it, but I don't think it's worth it for that card.
We have so many treasures. Okay, maybe it's not. I don't know. I see this as like a 4-mana 3/5.
But like, we want to do stuff with our treasures. We don't just want to like
cast them.
Like, I would much rather play one of the big bomby dragons than play John Renekus.
Okay. I mean, in some formats, this is probably really good because if it's slower.
I just think he's not used the best in our deck.
Yeah. Okay.
I'm not saying it's a bad
card. It'll win the long game. There is a Deadly Dispute, another Vampire Spawn, and another Drider, and another. Oh wait, there's a Meteor Golem. Can we do something with Meteor Golem here? Can we like?
So that's the kind of thing I like using a bunch of treasures.
Yeah. Right? Can we just ramp into Meteor Golem? I mean, Deadly Dispute seems good too, but God, Meteor Golem is awesome.
How many creatures do we have?
We are actually pretty good. We're at 16 creatures, 6 non-creatures, and a quick curve check. Doing pretty well in that regard, too.
Yeah.
I think we could take the Golem here.
Golem's probably fine.
Golem, Dispute, or Spawn. Hopefully we will either Dispute or Spawn, but let's just slam a Meteor Golem. I mean, that card's great. We got a Grim Wanderer, a Carnelian Orb of Dragonkind. Nope. Knoll Hunting Party, 6-mana 4/4 costs 1 less. Oh, I love this text. This is the same text as Search Party Captain. Costs 1 less to cast for each creature you attack with this turn. Double team to get another one. As long as it's your turn, it has first strike. That is a cool card.
Yeah, I mean, we're not going terribly wide, although Jan Jansen does give us the option to potentially.
Yeah. There's also just a Grim Bounty, which, you know, that feels pretty safe. Armor of Shadows.
I think if we go with the Grim Bounty here, we're probably done with removal. Like, I don't know if we need much more removal than that.
Yeah.
That'll put us at like 4 removal spells.
So Gnoll Hunting Party or Grim Bounty. I guess we probably should take another removal spell. And Grim is just, you know, it just answers everything for 4 mana. And it gives us a treasure.
Yeah. Yeah, it's fine.
Maybe wheel the other thing.
Hey.
Oh, well, we can't pass that, can we?
A Draft Shaft Hero for the ages.
Draft Shaft Heroes don't get passed very often.
We also have the Battlecry Goblin, Hobgoblin, Captain combo.
That's true. That's true. Also in this pack, there's a Reckless Barbarian. Sack it to add 2, whatever.
I will say, though, Battlecry Goblin's not great in our deck. Like, it's still good, but it's...
It doesn't have to be. It's so good by itself. Yeah, this is an army in a can. That's why it won.
Yeah,
I'm just going to slam the BCG.
And we get past another one. All right. I guess
I clicked on it by accident.
I guess we're doing like aggro. I almost think we don't want to ramp in anything now. Like, what's the point of all these treasures? We just...
This is good.
We get out the gates with a ton of like aggro creatures and then we just beef up a Sepulcher Ghoul and win.
Yeah.
I guess Jan Jansen, the treasures are just going to turn into creatures and then we're just going
to
sack
them. That's the thing. And we sack those to this and
this is a sweet deck.
This is like, oh, dude, we're playing Mardu Go Wide Sack, aren't we?
With treasures.
This is so familiar. Okay. This is a treasures deck. It's a treasures deck. Spoiler alert, Manticore, right? Or the Warcaller?
I mean,
Warcaller into BCG.
Our deck's pretty much built, but maybe Warcaller, sure, I guess.
Can we go even lower to the ground and give like Battlecry Goblin haste?
Thing is, I still think we're playing 17 lands in this deck. Because
we have Young Red,
at the top end.
Dryder, Red, Meteor Golem. Like, this is just like Red midrange.
So we have to make cuts already. And none of these cards are going to make the cut, so I don't think it matters which you take.
I'll take a Kobold Warcaller just so we have it.
Oh, cool. My goodness.
A Black Dragon and a Sepulcher Ghoul. Do we take a 4th Sepulcher Ghoul, or do we take a Black Dragon?
I mean, Black Dragon's just like a removal spell on a stick, and I kind of like that. It's another thing to ramp into if we don't have the other engine pieces. Do we need a 4th one, though?
I mean, we're just playing Constructed at that point. Then Incessant Provocation becomes like the best card in our deck.
That's true.
This is tough.
This is so, for the listeners' sake, we're pack 3, pick 6 right now, and this is the toughest pick of the draft.
Yeah, maybe we could... Let's take a look at our deck and start making some cuts here. So right now, let's take a look. I mean, we have a lot of good things in this deck. Maybe Jan Jansen is greedy. Maybe we don't even try to go...
Well, so
it seems so cool.
The problem is with Jan Jansen gone, we lose a major creature generator, and that makes our Sepulcher Ghouls way worse. So, like, I think what we're doing early is we want the Ghasts out, and with Shambling Ghast out, we can cast Jan Jansen no matter what, basically.
True. I mean, you just sack one of those to the Ghoul, or we just run it into something.
Sure.
Sack it to like a Deadly Dispute. I'm gonna cut the Horde Robber. This thing
wouldn't
always get through.
Yeah.
And I cut the what's it called? The Mind Spike as well.
Definitely.
Maybe Hook Horror. I mean, we have better sack stuff to do, like,
yes,
like Battlecry Goblin. Let's cut the Hook Horror. Dryder I'll leave in for now because this is like a repeatable token generator and that feels pretty good for this deck. 4 drop slots looking a little heavy. I think Manticore is not going to make
out.
It.
Yeah.
Because either Sepulcher Ghoul or Black Dragon is definitely making this deck. We do have a Red Dragon and a Meteor Golem already.
So here's a question.
Man. Yeah.
Actually, I don't think it's much of a question. Like, would you play Meteor Golem or Black Dragon? Probably Golem, right?
Yeah,
it's
but
colorless.
I think you want to play both, right?
Yeah, you might. But I'm just saying, like, if it came down to it, which would you prefer, the Black Dragon or Meteor
the Golem, right?
Yeah, it's like an actual removal spell.
Yeah,
and it's colorless.
I mean, so this deck... It does have a very distinct vector, right? Like, it wants to play turn 1 Ghast into turn 2 Ghoul and then kind of ramp into a 4 drop. But there's other ways for us to ramp here.
I don't even know if we do want to ramp. I kind of think you want to go like Ghast, Ghoul, Jansen, sack the treasure the Ghoul made and make 2 more creatures and then just
start
let the Ghoul do its
thing. In that case, it's looking like Ghoul's the better pick here. because I do think I want to try the Jan Jansen thing. This just looks fun. Yeah, I mean, this is another one we can get roasted on in the Discord. Black Dragon. The thing is, we have a ton of incidental treasure production, like Grim Bounty, improvised weaponry. The gas is dying. Prosper. Like, these are just going to make treasures. Yeah. So we will have, I don't think it's that weird to find yourself with like five lands and two treasures, right?
No, I don't think so either. Yeah. And we can only sack one a turn to Jansen. So it's not like we can use them up real quick.
Yeah.
If we do start to collect a bunch of them.
Yeah. This thing is kind of like a mana dork too, in a way. There's the ghoul and the dragon. I don't know, dude. This sucks. This is a hard one.
Are we getting anything back from this pack? We are, right?
This is pick six. So yeah.
Two cards.
We're going to get back the...
We might get the ghoul back, though, is what I'm saying. Because they've been going really late.
Yeah, because it seems like the bots don't like black, and they definitely don't like the ghouls. You think you want to try to take the dragon and reel the ghoul?
I think I'm happy. Because I'm also happy with this deck if it has a dragon and three ghouls, and I'm happy with it with four ghouls and no dragon. So
that's true. Yeah.
I'd like... But the black dragon won't wheel. So I think there's a chance the ghoul wheels.
Okay.
And based on that, we should take the dragon.
Let's play the bots a little bit. Let's take the dragon, see what happens. Okay. Let's pop it back in other modes. So we've got Gray Slade.
3-mana 4/1, as long as there are four more creatures in your graveyard, it has menace and death touch, and it's got an adventure to mill for. That's, I mean, I wanted more adventure cards, but that is not it.
Yeah, no.
That's not it.
Thieves' Tools and Eyes of the Beholder are the things in our colors.
Thieves' Tools was good in AFR.
That's true. It is ETB Make a Treasure, but I don't think we want it.
It's so good. So good with Sepulcher Ghoul.
I don't know. It feels
it's
like,
loose, and it's not going to make the cut for our deck, but it's a good card with Sepulcher Ghoul.
Yeah, that's true. I'll put it in the sideboard. I'll side it in sometime. Next pick, same kind of junk. Another Beholder, another Gray Slade. Dawnbringer Cleric. What is Navigation Orb? It is bad. I'll take it for Vault Progress. Got to craft all this set now, I guess. Another Drider, another Vampire Spawn, another Hook Horror. Jeez. What do we take here?
None of them are making the cut, so I'm not too worried about it.
You don't think Vampire Spawn might make it?
Spawn, maybe over the Spawn's Valor probably Singer? Over the Valor Singer. Yeah, I think that's actually correct. Yeah.
This is Valor Singer's maybe pretty good with the tokens, though. Oh, and this plays really well with the Battlecry Goblin. Yikes. Maybe we're supposed to play Spawn over Jan Jansen.
I don't know, man. I think Jansen's... Maybe I'm overplaying how good I think Jansen is with this deck, but like...
It looks fun, though. Yeah,
infinite tokens sounds really good.
Yeah, capped by the number of turns you play. And this deck doesn't want to play that many turns, but...
That's true.
I don't know. I mean, we also know nothing about this format. Is this the kind of format where like things trade off and both players are left to... Probably their top card is better than their opponents, because in that case, Jan Jansen's nuts.
Yeah.
I mean, is Drider insane? Like, this thing makes 2/1 menace reaches.
Yeah, but it's got to get in to do that.
Yeah, we do have one already. I'm going to take the Spawn here. And I guess a Grim Wanderer. This is actually decent in our deck, because we have... At this point, three ghouls, and we get to really control when something dies.
Yeah, but it's awkward with our curve.
It is also, yeah, it's just like, I'm going to take it over Armor of Shadows and Summon Undead, but...
Sure.
Although, actually, maybe
Armor of Shadows. We're not playing Armor of Shadows.
Until end of turn, it gets 1/0 and indestructible. That seems pretty good, though, right?
It's fine, but like, we don't need it.
Yeah, that's true. We have a ton of other stuff.
Like, we want our stuff to die. We're actively sacking our own things.
Yeah, that's true. If it was like a when it dies, return it to the battlefield tapped, then we could play it probably. But, all right. Oh, dude, another Incessant Provocation. That's got to really be good. Insane, right?
Yeah, that probably makes the cut.
We'll find a way to fit that in. All right. Now, here's the question of the day.
Do we get the ghoul back?
Do we get the ghoul back? Are you ready? Ah, Baleful Beholder. All right. Whatever. So let's take a look at this deck. We did wind up with three Sepulcher Ghouls. Is it bad that I wish we had a fourth?
I think that was correct. I think we've seen a couple of them go really late, and we definitely weren't going to wheel the dragon.
Yeah. So our man is a little iffy, but we have a ton of treasure production. Yes.
There was no fixing in this set, was there?
No, we didn't see a single dueler.
I mean, treasures. We've got all the treasures, but
yeah. Are we cutting the black dragon? Or maybe we cut Dryder, just because it's like at the in-between point and we want to kind of ramp into the huge like nonsense.
So admittedly, one thing I've been forgetting is that Sepulchre Ghoul only lets you activate it once a turn. It's not an Antuco Husk. So
no, sadly.
Creating like just going super wide is not helpful outside of having a bunch of creatures that can attack.
Mm.
So that makes Dryder a little bit worse, but 2/1 reach creatures are really good. And that's one of our biggest problems is the air. Like we need dragons for sure to do anything in the air and our removal. I think, and I could be convinced otherwise, but I think I like the Dryder better than the Valor Singer.
Mm. Our threes are looking a little heavy. Valor Singer, I mean, what would that really do? If we curve in, it lets our Sepulchre Ghoul attack as a 3/2, or lets our BCG attack as a 3/2, Hobgoblin attack as a 4. I mean, it's never turning on pack tactics on turn 3 or anything. It does turn it on turn 4 when you attack with the Valor Singer and the Hobgoblin Captain. I mean, that's an old play pattern from before. We know that from AFR. But yeah, I guess it's never really the key thing, you know?
Yeah, I mean, the other option is you just cut another cut one of our two vampire spawns, because that's fine. I mean, they kind of functionally do the same thing, right? Because you're chipping in for a little extra damage either way.
Yeah. I mean, I like the idea of spawn having an ETB, so then you go 2-drop ghoul, 3-drop spawn, and then you threaten and you attack your ghoul into their 3-drop, and then you're okay trading your vampire spawn functionally, like you sack it to the ghoul. You trade functionally your spawn for their 3-drop, and you already got your value out of the spawn's ETB.
Yeah, yeah.
4-drops, I think we're not touching. I think
two
incessant provocations. So we have 4 ways to sack things, right? 3 ghouls, which are repeatable, and then the Deadly Dispute, and the Jan Jansen if we can steal an artifact creature. All right, let's cut the Valor Singer.
We have the Golem. That's our own artifact creature.
Yeah, that's true. We can sack the Golem, I guess. Oh,
and
I
then
almost
it makes artifact creatures.
Yeah, yeah. And we only need to do Jan Jansen once to like get it going. Is it nuts to play like the Summon Undeads to try to reanimate these big dragons?
I think so. I think if we're getting that's just you're like shifting the vector of the deck, right?
Like you're shifting it into like a reanimator thing, and then you want the gray
By the time our dragons are dead and we're wanting to reanimate them, we're probably losing the game anyway.
That's true. Yeah, we want the game to end by like turn 6, or at least the game to be decided by like turn 5 or 6. But in that case, does that mean that our last cut is at one of these 7 or 6 and 7 drops?
Could be.
I think it's probably the dragon, dude. The black dragon after all that.
Yeah, it might be. But if the black dragon was the 4th Sepulchre Ghoul, what would we be cutting? Because we would still need a cut.
Yeah, probably one of the incessant provocations. I mean, maybe one of those is the cut. I mean, so it's a combo of 4 cards, 3 of which are repeatable to 2. And the provocations are... So what does this thing do? Can control, turn against, and then it gains this creature attacks each combat if able.
Perpetually. So if they got it back, it would have to attack every turn.
And that could be good. You could run it... Oh, you could run it into Prosper. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, but we're sacking it anyway, so it's irrelevant.
Yeah, it's true. They're never getting it back. But I guess it's a little bit better than just the usual turn against. It does cost 4, though. What's our count looking like? We have 17 creatures, 7 non-creatures. So I guess these will have to function like removal for us. So if we cut a creature...
It's probably either Black Dragon or...
Dryder.
Yeah, or Vampire Spawn.
Yeah. I want to say it's Black Dragon. We don't need 3 top-end like game enders,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, that's probably true.
Or then maybe it's just Meteor Golem. Black Dragon and Meteor Golem will fill very similar roles.
Right. They cost the same, but the one has a 4/4 flyer body instead of a 3/3.
Yeah. In exchange, this destroys any non-land permanent, whereas this, this could nuke like a Minimus containment or something that's like locking down Dryder.
True.
How about this? Seems fine, right?
Cut the black dragon. Yeah, I think that's fine. I would run it like that.
So the question is, how about this mana?
Right.
Seven red sources and that's it to play a bunch of like two drops that make red.
Hear me out. We want Jansen on three, but we don't need him on three realistically.
The times when we want Jansen on three, you have like Ghast into Ghoul and you can just make the treasure anyway.
Do we need planes? That's my question.
I was hoping you were going to say that. Yep.
I kind of feel like we don't need them.
No. And look how many things make treasure in this thing, like Grim Bounty, Improvised Weaponry, the Deadly Dispute, and both Ghast and the Young Red Dragon and Prosper.
Yeah. I just don't think this is fine.
Wow. That's a deck.
The ironic part is Jan Jansen makes a ton of treasures functionally, like through the rest of our deck doing its thing. But once he's on the board, we don't need the fixing.
Yeah. And it's only one. I mean, like, I think this deck looks awesome. Just to repeat for the listener, one drops, we got two Shambling Ghasts. Two drops, we got three Sepulchre Ghouls, which have been edited to have two toughness for God knows why. A cast down, a Deadly Dispute, two Draft Chaff Hero Battlecry Goblins. Got to keep those in there. Hobgoblin Captain, a Young Red Dragon, which I put at the two drop slot because it has Bathe in Gold, which makes a treasure. Three drops, we got Sewer Plague, two Vampire Spawns, an Improvised Weaponry, and Jan Jansen. Four drops, we got Grim Bounty, two Incessant Provocations, Prosper Tomebound. Five drop, we got one Dryder. Six drop, we got a Red Dragon, and seven drop, we got a Meteor Golem. We're going with nine Swamps and eight Mountains, and not a Plains in sight for Jan Jansen.
Yeah, dude, I think this deck has got some sauce. This might actually get a trophy.
Yeah, man, getting a trophy with a Marty Sack deck, that'd be wild.
Well, I mean, look, it's not like the Treasures deck was any good in AFR either, so.
Yeah, I mean.
Well, anyway, we hope you enjoyed that draft. Thank you for listening. And check out the Discord if you're not already in it. Again, the link to that is in the episode description as well as on our Twitter page. And if you'd like to support the show directly, you can do so on Patreon at patreon.com/draftchaffpod. And if you'd like to find us outside of the Discord, you can find us on Twitter at draftchaffpod. And, you know, we never plug this, but we do also have a merch store. So if you're interested in checking out merch with like Draft Chaff branding and stuff, we've got like pint glasses and shirts and all sorts of things like that. Check that out at shop.draftchaff.com. And that does it for us. Talk to you next week.
So this is kind of funny that we just had a Draft Chaff hero make an appearance because we got to pat ourselves on the back sometimes. A certain Draft Chaff hero of ours that we thought wouldn't really see, I guess, extensive play, Blood Tithe Harvester, has been making quite the splash recently, particularly due to Fable the Mirror Breaker. This thing is just, Fable is just, it's seeing like modern play, it's seeing probably play further back than that, but it's one of the best cards in Pioneer, which also makes it one of the best cards in Explorer. And it turns out the combo of Blood Tithe Harvester and Fable the Mirror Breaker are just insane. It lets you just get back one of these Blood Tithe Harvesters and just get a bunch more blood tokens and then basically use them as hasty removal spells if you're using the flip side, the Reflection of Kiki. So we wanted to pat ourselves on the back there and say, hey, we actually did nail it. And notably, Historic is getting shaken up a bit, Historic and Explorer. So they just released the two anthologies, Explorer Anthology 1, which is their attempt to make it more like Pioneer. There's some good stuff in here. I like Elvish Mystic a lot because now we have four Elvish Mystic, four Llanowar Elves. So I'd be surprised if there's no Elf deck that pops up. Some other nonsense in here, some cards that I like, Favorite Hoplite for the red-white heroic deck. Titan Strength, I guess, is also supposed to be for that. Same with Teamer Battle Rage. But it just so happens that two of my all-time favorite Magic cards got put in, those would be Tireless Tracker, which is my number one of all time, and Siege Rhino, which is probably top three. I think, honestly, Tireless Tracker, Siege Rhino, and Helena and Elena, they make up the top three. So, I mean, I immediately brewed up an Obzon mid-range deck. Kalitas got added as well. Rally the Ancestors. Rally was like the linchpin card of like a Rally Sack deck that saw heavy Pro Tour play. But I don't think we have the rest of the pieces for that yet, right?
Yeah, I can't recall exactly how that deck functioned, but I would think that they're probably not there yet.
Yeah, it was like an Obzon mid-range deck. I want to say it might have played like Nantuko Husks or something of that effect, and you would like sack your whole board, then reanimate your whole board. There's a few things in here for you too. Supreme Verdict, that's up your alley.
Yep, Blue-White Control gets a little bit of a buff, and then there's a Mausoleum Wanderer as well.
Yeah. Now, we also wanted to mention Historic Anthology. This one is a little more confusing. I pretty much haven't touched Historic at all because they started putting Alchemy cards in there, and they just... I mean, Luminarch Aspirant, I will never forgive them for making Luminarch Aspirant trigger on end step instead of at combat. Like, that is so stupid. Just stop it. But anyway, Historic Anthology got some very interesting additions. Avacyn? Like, 8 mana Avacyn? What is that in there for?
No idea. Goyfy boys in there. So
Tarmogoyfs. Chalice of the Void. Ophiomancer, which I thought had only ever been legal in like Vintage and Commander. Yeah. So I don't know what the deal with that is. Layla Blade Reforged, which is one of my favorite picks for Vintage Cube. Didn't think I'd see it on Arena anytime soon. I love Layla Blade Reforged.